Look at your Bibles with me to Psalm 78. I'm going to share just a few thoughts, and they're not all my original thoughts. Carol and I tag-teamed on this morning. I told her, I said, Carol, I feel like you're the Moses and I'm just the Aaron. I'm just going to be your mouthpiece this morning. But we were putting our hearts together and kind of stirring one another in some thoughts. And so I want to represent her heart to you. You have an amazing leadership team here. I know you know that. You have a great leadership team. They love you. And they don't want to just see you have a great encounter weekend, right, Jess? This isn't just about 3 days and then, oh, what was that? What did I do last weekend? How many of you, sometimes you can't even remember what you did last weekend? There are times in my travels that I fight hard and I still can't think of where I was last weekend. I don't know what state I was in last weekend. We just can't always remember even what happened yesterday. But spiritually, we have to remember, or else we're going to forget, Luana, to yield the sword that was revealed to us at the encounter weekend. So how do we do that? We want to remember, right? I have a friend who, his wife's birthday, his girl's birthday, his anniversary, he gets them all tattooed on his arm because then he just figures, I'm not going to forget. So if he just looks at them and Ephraim remembers. So it's like, okay. And speaking of Ephraim, this chapter mentions the men of Ephraim. In verse 9, it's talking about the tribe of Ephraim. I think this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. It says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle, meaning they had everything they needed to fight and to win, but they didn't show up. Why didn't they show up? The Bible goes on to answer that. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. Right there's your answer. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. Listen to this. Verse 12, he did miracles in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. These guys had everything that they needed to fight, but they didn't show up because they had forgotten what God had done with them. Now, none of us set out to forget something. If you forget Valentine's Day, if you forget your parents' birthday, if you forget your children's birthday, I don't know if that really would happen, but if you forget something, we don't set out to forget something, do we? We want to remember things. We want to remember to pay our bills on time. How many of you have had that where that sinking feeling where it's like, oh, I forgot to pay the credit card. The money was in the bank. I had everything I need, but I just forgot. And now I'm going to have to pay a little extra or a lot extra, right? We don't set out to forget things, but sometimes we do. So we want to remember. So that's not an issue. The question that I want us to talk about for a few minutes is, how do we remember? Because it's not that we don't want to. How are we going to remember? And this message is not just for those of us that just came back from the encounter. It's not just for you guys that came back from an encounter last weekend. This is for all of us because we all have stories of what God has done in our lives. And if we don't call them to remembrance, and if we don't take our history with God into our future, it will paralyze us sometimes in fear and keep us from attaining and taking the ground that God wants to give to us. So we have to recall the things that God has done. We have to remember. So how do we do that? We're just going to get a little practical. Is that okay? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, because the Bible is really big, and the Israelites, And what the Lord spoke to them was really big on remembering. And he gave them some very tangible things to do to help them remember. So let's read some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now let's break that down a little bit. In verse 7, it says, "Impress them on your children." We talked about this at the encounters, how we're leaving a legacy. We're speaking to those that are coming behind us. And it's not just those that have children. I don't have natural children, but I have spiritual children. I have relatives. I have young women in my lives that I can impress these spiritual truths on. Impress them on your children. How? Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. So what's that saying? It's saying, when it's time to read stories, bedtime stories, instead of going for Winnie the Pooh, talk about what the Lord's done. I have a 3.5-year-old niece, and I love her to pieces. And when I'm at home, if she will let me, I read her her Bible stories at night and tuck her in. I don't always get to do it because she's a mama's girl. But when I do, I do. And I love, because you know what? This girl was... had just turned 3, and she was telling me the resurrection story. Because her mama and her daddy are impressing on her the truths of God's word. So here is a 3-year-old telling me about the angel who rolled the stone away. And I said, "Sophie, talk about it." Impress them on your children. Story time. Do you know what I did? This was about 10 years ago. I went to my great-grandmother's house before she passed away, and I just sat with her at her kitchen table. I said, "Grandma, tell me stories. Just tell me stories." And she started telling me stories. She's like, "We needed a place to live, and we had no money." So I just began walking through our town saying, "God, show me where we need to live." She got to a house. The Lord said, "This is it." Knocked on the door. And she said, "We need a place to live. Do you have anything available?" "Yes, we have a room available for you. And this is what you would pay." And they could afford it. Story after story, my grandma could tell me of things that God had done. It was our story time. So what stories are you sharing with people around you? What are you talking about? Are you telling them about the miracles that God has done for your life? Are you telling them about the miracles that God has done, the healing work that God has done in your heart? We all have a lot to talk about. Are you telling them about the time that God brought you through financially? Are you telling them about the time that you didn't think you were going to make it and somehow God saw you through once again? Who are you telling, and how often are you telling it? It's time for story time. And it can be a bedtime story, or it can be any time of day with anybody. Just give voice to what God is doing. Impress. The Bible says, speak about it at home and when you walk along the road. Do you know what this means? This is something that we've got to be rehearsing all the time. We don't just save our testimonies for church. We need to hear about it outside. Can you imagine how you might take someone off guard at work if you say, "Can I just tell you what God did for me?" Or, you know, you can kind of backdoor them and say, "You know what? I had this amazing thing happen to me." Don't even bring the God thing up just yet. It's like when people ask me what my profession is, I don't tell them that I'm a pastor. I don't tell them that I'm a traveling minister or whatever. I say I'm a musician and a public speaker. What kind of music do you do? I sing black gospel. I sing Christian contemporary music. I sing worship stuff. Oh, well, what do you speak about? I speak on the Bible. And all of a sudden, we have more length of conversation because you know what happens if people find out you're a pastor. They don't want to talk anymore. So backdoor them. I had this amazing thing happen to me. Can I tell you about it? And start talking about it. And then they're like, wow, that sounds really great. So who did this? God. God did this for me. Walk along the road and talk about it. Share about it. Tell somebody what God did. Some of us have to seal up what God did at these encounters. Find some music that we did at our encounters. When you know what? When I hear the song, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. When I hear that song now, I'm not just going to think of my sweet niece singing it because that is her favorite song. I'm going to think of our little dance party that we had last night. See, that made a spiritual memory for me. That made a deposit in my spiritual bank. So when my heart is heavy and my spirit is tired, I can pop on that song and it can recall a spiritual, eternal event. It can take me back to a moment and I remember what it was like to walk to that volleyball court and throw that stuff in the grill and watch it burn up and say, all those strongholds are broken and I'm going to walk in victory from here on out. So find some of that music. iTunes is a beautiful thing. The song's called I'm Not Forgotten, Israel Houghton. There are so many wonderful songs that you can grab that play throughout your day as you walk along that will help to solidify and remind your heart of what God has done. Let's look at the next verse, verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, do you notice that we are not providing index cards for you to write on so we can tape them to your heads? That was one day. This is another day. If you do that, you're going to look weird, and I'm going to look at you weird. I'm going to think you're weird too. So if we're not going to do that, then what are we going to do? What's a modern way to do that? Pastor Dave's sister Cheryl was battling cancer. God gave her a verse. And what'd she do, Pastor Dave? She tattooed it on her hand. Now, we're not going to provide a tattoo artist next week. We're not saying that. It's not going to be in the lobby. But that's what she did because she needed to see it. Tie them as symbols around your neck. Write them on your foreheads. Put it somewhere where you can see it. I was at a retreat a couple weeks ago, and I needed a word from the Lord, and God gave it to me. So we got scripture cards, kind of like the promise cards we got yesterday, ladies. And that's on my mirror at home in my bathroom with the words that I added to it, God restores, because I can remember that now. And it takes me back to that place and what God spoke to me, the word that God gave me that day that my heart needed, because God saw me and he heard my cry and he answered it. So I want to remember it. If God takes the time to speak, I want to recall what he says to me. So take your promise cards, put them somewhere, write something that God has done, and tape it to your mirror, tape it to your fridge. I guarantee you'll see it then. There was a time a couple years ago when it just felt like there were some things coming against my household. And I heard my pastor speak about a verse that I loved. It says, I forget it now, Proverbs 26:2, a darting swallow and a fluttering sparrow does not come, no. I don't know. But it says, the end of it says, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. An undeserved curse does not come to rest, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. I put that on an index card, and I tape that thing to my front sliding glass door, and it's still there today because it's a reminder that says nothing is touching this household. No undeserved curse is touching this household. So when I walk into my patio and I see that, it's a reminder to me that that is sacred ground and off limits from the enemy. So write it down and post it in a place. Now, Okay, you're saying amen. Are you going to do this? This requires some action. Faith without works is dead. This requires action. So don't just amen me. Go home and do it. Take action on this, because if we don't, it is very possible that we could be armed with bows and turn back on the day of battle and put our sword down, Luana, and let the enemy have a heyday in our lives. And that's not God's heart for us. Maybe you want to get a necklace or something, something that signifies what God is doing. Look at verse 9. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Okay, door frames of houses. I'm not saying paint scripture on your door frames. You can if you want. But what about your screensaver at work? What about your screensaver on your computer? What about a picture that reminds you of something God has done or a promise that he's given to you? For me, it would be the beautiful flower called the Lily of Valley, because whenever I see a picture of the Lily of the Valley, it makes me think of a promise that he spoke into my life years ago that I am holding on to. And I could put a picture of that on my phone to be the background thing. I don't even know how to do that, actually. But I could get someone who would know how to do that and do it. Like someone sitting back in that area. Make it my password. There you go. Your favorite scripture verse. What about Jeremiah 29:11? There you go. 2911. There's your password. And there's your reminder that every time you punch in your password, you are punching in the word of God. You are dialing it up. Your ATM number. I'm about to pass the mic off. This is truly a tag team message. We have to write this stuff down. We have to set these things before us, because what we receive from God are treasures, the things that he stores up for us and in our lives. We've got to recall them and appreciate them. When we get a nice gift from our parents, if we just toss it around and discard it, what's that saying? Not just about that gift, but about the one who gave it to us. Let's be careful with the promises of God. Maybe it's journaling. You know, one thing that impressed me this weekend, and the Lord's asked me to do it on occasion, not this weekend, thank you, Jesus, but both Carol, Pastor Carol and Melissa, both read from their journals as they were speaking, because they're treasures. And they were so sweet to let us and invite us into the vaults, those vaults that they have written and stored up those treasures, because it was talking about what God was doing in real time. And they journaled that. But they wouldn't have that to reference if they didn't take the time to do it. Now, I'm not saying that journaling's easy, because if you'd look at my journal, you see there are gaps of 3 to 4 months at a time. I know that journaling is not an easy discipline to learn, but there have been times when the Lord has said, you need to journal. Or my pastor has said to me, Stephanie, you need to journal out what God's doing in your life right now. You need to keep record of it, because you are going to have to reference it. So keep a journal. Write it down. Capture the things that God is doing. If you can't commit to journaling, you're saying writing full sentences is just too much for me, then do what I did. The Lord told me to write up a financial miracle page. I wouldn't even write in full sentences. That was a little bit too much for me at that time. But whenever God provided something for me, I would write it down in my journal. And it wasn't always a check in my mailbox. It was, I saved this much money in coupons at the grocery store. That you will find that in my book at home. I kid you not. It says, my friend provided me free firewood. I appreciate that provision of God, and I call it my miracle journal, so that when the numbers started getting low in the checkbook, and I said, Lord, okay, you are my provider, I would go back to this page, and I would read it, and I would remember the things that God did, and it would stir up faith, because it reminded me of the miracles that God did. And I said, oh my goodness, if he's had me this whole time, he's not going to fail me now. So write a miracle page. Doesn't even have to be full sentences. It can be $200 check in the mail. $50 in the mail, extra shifts at work. Sometimes that's provision, right? A car. My car didn't need anything at inspection. Thank you, Jesus. Write it down. Recall those things. Because there's going to be a time when maybe financially you're going to be challenged in your thinking and you're going to have to recall the miracles of God so you have something to stand on. I'm telling you, these are tangible things so that we don't, it won't be said of us, though they were armed with bows, they turned back on the day of battle. They stopped short of what God wanted to give to them. This is action steps for us today to take. These are real, tangible things that will lock in place the things that God has done because we will need to recall them. Look at Psalm 77 for me. Before we go there, it says that you're to write it on the gates. Mark your territory for Jesus. We laughed about that one today. Marking your territory. Set it aside. If there are things in your home that are not pleasing to God that he dealt with you about in these weekends, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. It doesn't belong there. It's out of place. So just get rid of it. Ask the Holy Spirit, search this house. Show me if there's anything that's displeasing to you so that I can address it, so that I can get rid of it, because this is your home. This is your habitation. Remove those things. Find a place of community. Find places of friendship that you can share with one another what God has done. The people that you met on these weekends, don't talk to them at the next encounter weekend. Don't wait for that long. Find a cell group. We talked about that this morning. Find a cell group. Go into community because then that will help you to remember the things that God has done so that they can help you guard and protect those places and that ground that you have gained. They can hold you accountable. We need people who are speaking into our lives, who know our stuff. If you are walking and nobody knows your stuff, you are walking isolated and you are in terrible danger. I walk with people who know my stuff, who know my shortcomings, who know my weaknesses, and are not afraid to say, as I was praying for you, this is what the Holy Spirit brought to mind, and boom, lay it out. And boy, those are ouchy. And after I say ouch, I say thank you, Jesus, for friends like this. Because they help guard the treasure and the promise that God has stored up in my life. These are tangible steps. Are they doable? Yeah. Will they take forever to do? No. Write a scripture on a card. Put it on your mirror. Change your passwords. These are things that are within our grasp to do. So let's do them, church. Let's do them. Let's put them into practice. Let's adhere to the word of God. Let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. And don't wait till tomorrow to do some of this stuff. Do it when you get home today, because by tomorrow you just might forget. So the person you are sitting next to, you might just want to ask them by Monday or Tuesday, did you do at least one of those things that you talked about on Sunday morning? Okay, look at the person next to you because you got to know who you're going to contact. Have you done at least one of those things that you talked about on Sunday? And if they say no, you say, why not? Look at Psalm 77. Why is this so important? To recall and remember what God has done. Altars are a place of remembrance, and they were built often after God did great things. Joshua 4, it talks about future generations would see it and they would ask questions. It was an opportunity to declare what God did. It was a public declaration, and we need to make those public declarations in our lives, not just for us to remember, but for all to see. Psalm 77 says this, I cried out to God for help I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired. Listen to his questions. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. All those questions. To this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. I will remember. I will meditate when those questions come, and they will come. To this thought, I will appeal the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember and I will meditate. Build an altar. Build a place of remembrance. Build a place of demonstration that this is what God has done. I will remember. I will remember and I will meditate, because we will not be able to fully go into our future without taking our history with God with us. I'm going to invite those of you who are getting water baptized to go ahead and go get ready, go get changed. We're excited that you are going to be baptized in water. And I just want to pray with you before Pastor Dave comes. Can we set our hearts together to say, I will remember. I will meditate. I will store up the things that God has done. I will write down the miracles. I will remember his faithfulness. I will walk in his fullness. And I will build an altar of remembrance that will remind me of what God has done and cause others to ask questions so that I can tell them what God has done. So, Father, we say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for every miracle. Lord, I'm not just talking about the ones that have happened within the last 2 weekends. Lord, I'm talking about the years of the faithfulness of the Most High. God, thank you for the stories that you have put in our lives, the things that you have written in us. And, Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to remember those, call them to our remembrance when we need them. Help us to take practical steps in order to follow your truth, because we do not want it to be said of us that though they were armed with bows, they turned back on the day of battle. We don't want that to be said of us, because there are generations that are coming behind us that need to walk in the fullness of your ways. So Lord, by your Spirit, would you cause us to pave that way with your faithfulness, to pave that way by remembering all the good things that you have done. You are a good God, and you have never once failed us. So we bless and magnify your name, Jesus. Amen.